Sunshine, and 44.
It's time to talk Browns football with Scott Petrak on the Petrak Report. Scott from Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com. It's brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and Royal Business Equipment. Here's Myles Garrett after the game.
Guy's a dog, and we've known that for a long time now. And you know, kept on trying to tell y'all, you know, once he hits his stride, he's gonna be back to his previous ways, dominating the league, hitting spots, running down the field, and we're just seeing another glimpse into what he can be and who he is, and I think he's going to continue to carry that momentum throughout the season because he's special.
Scott, I guess the question is, will he continue that momentum? We've seen a little bit of these glimpses. It was kind of a tale of two halves, if you want to use that phrasing, but what's your sense, or what did you really see in this win over the Ravens from Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, it's certainly encouraging how he played in the second half yesterday, and I think it goes beyond that. He played relatively well in that Cardinals game when he came back from the rotator cuff injury. He played really well against the Titans in the game where he suffered the shoulder here, with Watson playing pretty well. I don't know if I'm not ready to say he's back to that Pro Bowl guy that he was. I know Myles Garrett said he's headed in that direction, but there's certainly really encouraging signs. And if he plays anywhere close to that level with the rest of the team that they have, they're going to win some games.
Scott, this reminded me of a Rocky movie. You know, Rocky gets the snot beat out of him early on, but he hangs around long enough, the other guy gets frustrated or whatever, and he comes back in the end. And let's give a lot of credit to the Browns for hanging in there in the second half.
Well, there's no doubt. I think one thing they've shown through the first nine games is they are resilient. They have determination and grit, whatever words you want to use, because we've seen it time and again. Dealing with the Watson injury and winning a couple of games with P.J. Walker, and they probably should have won three with P.J. Walker, quarterback. And they lost Nick Chubb, their best player in week two. They played without both their starting tackles yesterday, and then they're down 14, and then they're down 14 again in the fourth quarter. So for all that to happen, I think plenty of teams could have either rolled over or just not come back like the Browns did. But Kevin Stefanski has them playing at a high level, has them competing to the finish. He told them before the game it was going to be the team that fought the longest and the hardest, and he thinks that's why they came through and won the game. So, yeah, they deserve a bunch of credit for the resilience they've shown all year.
Kevin Stefanski's favorite play was the big pile push near the end. Those offensive linemen were helping a lot, even though they're the fill-ins. They thought there was a bonding that seemed to be going on even at that moment.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski doesn't show a ton of emotion, but gave us a little bit there saying it was his favorite play. It was huge in the game. They needed those 12 yards to make that field goal much more manageable for Dustin Hopkins. You're right. The tackles, they struggled some in pass protection. John Watson was sacked four times. He had to run around a little bit. But they ran for, I don't know what the final number was, but it was over 150 against a good Ravens defense. And that was the key. They had to run the ball to take some pressure off the passing game. They still ran it even though they got behind. They needed to run it. They ran the last 4:55 off the clock. That's hard to do, and you do that with controlling the possession, getting first down after first down. Those tackles certainly contributed, and that was just a fun play. I don't always love that play because I feel like it's not always safe and to blow the whistle at some point. But I'm sure Browns fans got a kick out of watching all 11 guys or 10 guys push Jerome Ford farther and farther.
I know your favorite play of the game was Greg Newsome, now no longer having the zero except on his uniform, right?
You guys know that I'm unbiased, but it was good to see a Wildcat get his first interception that he's been looking for 3 years, and then it's such a big moment, and he takes it back 32 yards. I had a great vantage point. First of all, the view in the press box is great in Baltimore, and it's kind of right in front of us. And I thought there were like three guys that had a chance to push him out of bounds, and somehow they didn't do it, and he gets all the way to the end zone. So huge play in the game. The Browns scored two touchdowns and a field goal when they had the ball on offense in the second half, and then he gets them a touchdown on defense. So, he'd been looking for that interception. I was in the locker room. I forget which game it was. It was a home game, and he had a pick. He had a ball that looked like he should have intercepted it, and it wound up the receiver knocked it away. Well, it's like 20 minutes after the game. And somebody on his phone, I don't know if it's a friend or family member, is giving him grief about not getting the interception. And he's like, hey, watch the video. The guy knocks it away. So obviously it's been in his mind that he's chasing that was chasing that first pick.
Yeah, because we get the pick, and then we miss the extra point. What I mean, this is the part of the ebb and flow of yesterday's game for sure.
Well, yeah, you know, Dustin Hopkins has been great all year long, right, since they traded for him at the end of the preseason. So I guess he was due to miss a big one. I talked to Joe Bitonio after the game, and he said, you know, we weren't that, knocked off by it because we knew we were going to have to score again. That extra point would only tie the game. Now, obviously, if they wind up not going to overtime, it's a huge play in the game. But he said, we had to score again to win. So they weren't that deflated. They still had confidence in Dustin Hopkins. That was a theme through the locker room. Everybody believed if he got another chance, he would make it. And they certainly did.
Did you think they should have taken that one at the end of the half, gone for it instead of getting the sort of Hail Mary pass? Or what were your thoughts on that?
That's a tough call. I mean, I know how good he's been, right? And he made, I think, a 58-yarder in Indianapolis. That's in a dome. You know, it wasn't crazy warm yesterday. Justin Tucker got, and he's the best kicker in the history of the league, probably one of the top two. And he had a 55-yarder block. So I think all that was probably going through Kevin Stefanski's mind when he had him out there and then pulled him off. You know, Stefanski mentioned that the Ravens had a returner back. So if you wind up short, a guy returns it, all of a sudden they could score, right? It could be like a 10-point swing. So, you know, I didn't have a huge problem with it. I wouldn't have had a problem if he tried kicking the 60-yarder either.
There was a lot going on, a lot of quick scoring. I would go out to do a chore. I'd come back, and I'm like, wait a minute, I thought we had the ball. Why is it over here? You know, a lot going on yesterday. So you had a lot to write about. But you wrote something over the weekend that I thought was really an important one. Had to do with sort of the bonding of this team and how that sort of early, training camp resort type of thing has really somehow paid off in what they've been going through this season.
Yeah, well, first of all, you got to time your chores better. You know, so it's 3.5 hour on block on Sunday. You should be able to block that off.
I know.
But, yeah, I thought it was a good time to write it. I had talked to some guys for the last few weeks who just hadn't gotten around to it. But I thought it was still applicable, and it certainly is because guys brought up how close they are after the game again yesterday. But, yeah, they credited part of it being into Greenbrier, and it was kind of forced camaraderie and forced chemistry. And then it's carried through, and I use the example of Obo Garanko, the defensive end. During the bye week, he had a photo exhibit in New York, and some teammates went to see the exhibit, and he thought that just meant a lot to him. He says the defensive line moves in packs. Anthony Walker says everybody gets to the building early and stays late. Just a lot of, I know it's an intangible and it's hard to measure, and it's easy to say it when you're winning games, but there's a lot of good vibes around them, and I think it's helped them through the tough times. We talked about the resilience earlier. You know, they bounced back from that Seattle game and shut out Arizona. They had issues this week with the injuries, and they find a way to beat Baltimore. So I do think that plays a part in the success.
All right, Steelers are next up. They just don't seem to want to go away this season. What can we expect in this game coming up?
Yeah, you're going to expect a hard-fought game. I mean, they've been outgained in every game this year, and yet they're 6-3. The quarterback threw for like 124 yards yesterday, and they beat Green Bay. So, to me, it feels like a game the Browns should win. I think they're more talented. They should have won week two on Monday night in Pittsburgh, and they didn't because the Steelers find a way. They play good defense. We know that those two edge rushers can wreck a game. So I think the Browns play well. I like the Browns' chances, but you have to play well because Pittsburgh's not just going to hand you a game.
Well, he's been playing well at home, so this is that advantage is on our side, it seems.
No, you're right. Since Kevin Stefanski took over, they've been really good at home.
Sounds good. Well, Scott, we'll talk with you again next week, hopefully after a Browns victory over the Steelers. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak joining us this morning on the Petrak Report. It's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson Maryland Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law and Royal Business Equipment. You can read Scott in the Chronicle Telegram. You can follow him at Scott Petrak on X and also brownzone.com.